Hey guys, it's Lauren.
And I'm Megan, and welcome back to the Scribe Squad Pod, a Fourth Wing book club. You guys, today we are going to go over our deep dive, and it's going to be the Bazgaith War College. So I think the first thing we're going to start out with is the biggest conflict with this, which is how you pronounce the college.
Yes.
So we pronounce it the way that Rebecca Yarros interviewed and said she pronounced it, which is Bazgaith.
Yeah, Bazgaith.
But there is a big controversy because these are Gaelic words, mm-hmm. or some people say Gaelic, but the girl that I watched the video over and over again to make sure I had it correct, she was saying it's Gaelic, and she is. She was telling us the Gaelic meaning of the word. So nice. Bazgaith is two words put together, two Gaelic words, Baz meaning death and Skiath meaning wing. Oh. So she said it should have been Bazgiath.
Bazgiath.
Bazgiath. And I'm sorry if I'm butchering that again. I tried to write it exactly the way she wrote it. Bazgiath. And so if I'm actually probably going to put her link in or her TikTok video in this so you could go back. But we are going to use the way Rebecca Yarros pronounces it, which is Bazgaith. And, you know, I don't know if she, like, looked this up or created this word based off of anything or just I haven't looked that up. Me so either. I'm going to use it the way she would use it because
that's how she uses it.
That's how she uses
and
it.
And the audiobooks, I think, do.
I think so, too. I realized it. In the video when she was like in the audiobooks and I was like, oh, I think they say Bazgaith.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure they do because I think so. One thing about reading that my mom always told me was if somebody pronounces a word wrong, that's like a good thing because it means that they probably read it somewhere. Mm. And so all that to be said, I like to, for books like this, listen to it and read it so that if I'm having trouble pronouncing the words, I can hear somebody else say it. So I at least get an idea of what somebody else pronounces it like so I can have it through in my head the same way each time.
This is the way I would, like, so I taught fourth grade.
Right.
And it's such a big time of their development and reading when they're like, what is this word? What is this name? Mm-hmm. And the thing that I still hold very strong on is it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It matters in situations like what we're talking about where we're discussing it. But at the end of the day, I would just be happy they were reading.
That's exactly where my mom was also a teacher, yes. like third, fourth grade teacher. So she would say like what I just said, but also growing up, she was always like, if you can't pronounce word, just pronounce it one way and say it that way the whole time. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if it's wrong, but that way you at least can keep it all together.
Consistent and, across exactly. everything. Yes.
Exactly.
And I would even tell my students to just be like, call it B college.
Yeah.
And like, that if you don't understand it, you want to wait for me to say it to you.
Right. So, exactly.
And then the next thing I need to do is apologize. Lauren doesn't even know I was going to make this apology. I have strong feelings about the number of books there are. And I kept saying there was 4 years of college. And in the time that I was saying that, first off, in America, 4 years of college is pretty standard. I would say most people actually go 5 years of college. But doing the deep dive research, I realized Bazgaith College only has 3 years.
I didn't put two and two together when you said that. But yeah, it does only have 3 years.
So there's three. But so I still stand by. Five catches me off guard for books because
it's fourth wing.
It's fourth wing. I really do feel like four would have been like,
perfect.
Yes. Also, as of today, I haven't told you this either. The supposedly Goodreads mm-hmm. has a date on her release, and it's in December. But I haven't verified that. I just saw it on TikTok. Mm. So I think we are going to get a December 3rd.
I'd seen on TikTok speculation that it was going to be December, but I never knew if it was confirmed or anything, but oh,
I want that for Christmas. Am I cuddling up and getting to
under the Christmas tree
exactly.
by the fireplace?
Please, Rebecca Yarros.
We would love it.
We'll be on the nice list.
Maybe.
Maybe. All right. So Bazgaith War College. We know that this is in, you get to pronounce all the towns.
Oh, in Navarre?
Navarre.
Paramil.
Oh, it's in doesn't Navarre. It kind of sit, but I know Paramil is to the right. Navarre is on the left. And Bazgaith, does it kind of get, it's kind of closer to Paramil than the edges of Navarre.
Yeah.
I was looking at it on the map. Mm-hmm. I did watch a TikTok where a girl said everyone at 20 gets sent here. And I was like, actually, that's inaccurate. That's not because that as we know, it was Reed's sister. No, whose sister was it that didn't go and just wanted a family? Reed. Reed, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to go. You can volunteer. You can get drafted.
Yes.
Like when we had a draft in America, like you can get drafted.
Well, and like all the rebels have to go. There are people that have to go, but not everyone has to go.
Right, not everybody has to go.
So we're going to talk a little bit about this war college. I personally really can, like, I think about this, like, being, like, my college, and I've said it multiple times. I've gone to a military college where I was not in the military. I was not a cadet, but, so they called us civilians. So we had the civilian side and the cadet side.
Oh, that is so interesting.
And so on my military college, every day at, you had retreat and reveille, which is, so, like, we all honored the military traditions.
Right.
So we, at retreat, which was at 5 o'clock each day, the whole campus stopped and we all faced the flag.
Oh,
so like when I say like I was in a military college, like we were embedded into this. Like we call our cafeteria was called the Chow Hall, which is like a military term.
Yeah.
So like when I think about this and you think about it being a military college, it is something that like not just for the writers or just for either infantry. I was like, there. I was trying to find that word in my brain. You guys, I am on half capacity today. And I was just thinking about how the scribes felt in this war college. And I was like, well, I guess they probably kind of feel like I did, which was not that I didn't belong.
Right.
But I was just like, oh, these things aren't for me.
Right.
But I still learned about them. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we didn't walk on the grass. And like, we knew like when PT was coming, like what chants were, like, I don't know. You just knew, learned a lot about it.
For sure.
So,
for sure.
Basgaiath is a topic that I've been excited to talk about.
Hooray. One thing that is really big in general, so we talk about this a lot, but just like the overall numbing to death, I think that's one of the main, as we get into the different things that they go into at college, specifically in the writer quadrant, is just they are trying to numb these people to death. So much so that they read off the death toll every single day and you know who died that day. And that because they know that most people are going to die, mm-hmm. but not just in college, but also like there's a war out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're about to go to war and you're about to see a lot of death. So it starts literally your first day at college. So I think that's a really big thing.
Good morning. Welcome. Look all who's dead. So I'm going to skip this next one and go to, actually I'm going to go to the professors.
Okay.
So in learning of Fourth Wing of an Iron Flame, you get introduced to a few professors, some of which are more dominant characters than others. Mm-hmm. And one thing when I was doing the research that I didn't realize, and I wonder if you did, that Markham's the only scribe.
Mm-hmm.
Like we get every other one's a writer.
Yes.
Which makes sense as a writer's college that, you know, but I it did make me wonder like who teaches the infantry? Like is it just infantry and is scribes just scribes? Or do they have any other, like, are there writers who are teaching the scribes?
Yeah,
because
I haven't thought about that.
So we don't know, but it's just something I was speculating.
Yeah.
So Carr is a signet. He teaches signets and channeling. So even if you don't know your signet, you start working with him when it comes to magic in general.
Mm-hmm.
One of the theories I have heard, which I don't know if you have, is that they speculate he might know what signets are before they are. That might be part of his signet. Because he says to Violet, your power is going to be earth shattering.
Shoot.
That's the quote in chapter 23. He says it's going to be earth shattering.
But also they don't start seeing Carr until they have formed their signet.
Oh, I thought they did even if it was lesser magic.
Because they talk about, or maybe so, but I guess they start having like one-on-one training. That I think that's it. They start having one-on-one training because I know before Violet gets her signet, all of her friends are already starting to go to him for a class. So it might be an additional class. And she says like, soon I'm going to have to start going to his class once I get my signet.
Gotcha. So, and I was kind of pulling together. I was trying not to read again. Like I'm trying to pull from the information I already knew and research.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like super strong on that, but one thing about Carr is he had met her siblings and he told her like both of them had really strong signets.
Yeah.
So he was interested to see what her signet was. And that's when he said, it's going to be earth shattering.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know.
That's so cool. I never put that together.
I, again, through this research, I love the theory. So I saw that. One of the other things about Carr, which again, these episodes are full of spoilers and maybe we should, you know, make sure we say that again at the beginning, is when she says something about Brennan. he is something and he doesn't respond with like, she says something like, oh, he was the best or was, and talks about him in past tense. And his response is, HMM.
Oh, shoot.
So like there again are speculations that Carr knew.
That he was still alive.
Yeah.
Shoot.
But I don't know. That's just.
That's just a weird way to respond correct. To the fact that
correct.
You're talking about a dead brother. Yeah, that's true. Because a lot of people do know that he's still, like all the rebels know that he's alive. So there's a chance that Carr also knows.
Yes. Especially if he gets to experience everyone's training of their signets, yeah. I imagine he gets the first kind of taste of like passing of information and mm-hmm. validating if this is right. And
yeah. What is Carr's signet? Do we know?
I don't think it says. I'm saying I think the speculation mm-hmm. is that he can tell what other people's signets are going to be. But like, again, even if that was his signet, we probably wouldn't know because we don't know everything about right, signets.
Exactly. Oh, there's so much to learn about signets.
So then we have Devira and Markham, which mm-hmm. I'm kind of putting them together because yeah. they teach the battle briefs. And I don't feel like we know more about Markham. Mm-hmm. I feel like
we learn more about, and I don't know if this is right, but I pronounce it. Devira.
Okay.
I don't care.
Yes.
But we learn more about her specifically more toward the end of Fourth Wing, but also Iron Flame. Mm-hmm. She's a pretty big character in Iron Flame. But I also, again, find it interesting that we have a female leading battle brief. So telling you about every single thing that's happening out in the world. And again, it's a woman.
Okay, Rebecca
and it specifically says that she wants Sorengale's job. She wants to be over Buzgaeth. In the future. So,
and that's what this is the one they said she won't have a chance because, and we don't know her. We don't know her signet.
I don't think we know her signet.
Interesting.
And if we do, it might come up in Iron Flame, but I don't think it does.
We'll touch back on there. And then there was a professor that someone mentioned that I don't even remember. Yeah. Like, but I can't think of any scenes with him.
Yeah. I mean, it's all in the sparring ring.
It is.
And
but
he
like,
comes up more so in the beginning of Iron Flame.
That's what, and I feel like he's kind of a background character mm-hmm. yeah. because I feel like a lot of the sparring is done not unsupervised, but
it's also
they're like, training each other.
Right. Exactly. The only thing I will say that stands out to me about Immaterio is he has always been on Violet's side. Mm. Like he was always a really big supporter of her, even throughout the times where she was like not doing great in the sparring ring. Like he always had her back essentially. Yeah. So I think that plays into his character.
And then the last professor that I really think in Fourth Wing is Kaori.
Yes.
Which, so dragon knowledge, the only thing that you know about dragons are what they have provided for you.
Right.
So they, but everything that has been provided, Kaori knows.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to be like, he knows everything about dragons because that's not an accurate statement. He knows everything that people know about dragons.
Right. That's been written about dragons.
Yes. And yeah. so like from how to be safe with them, how to like what each one can do, all of these things, which mm-hmm. that I think will be, I think, Kaori will have a much larger role as Andarna. Like mm-hmm. if we figure out kind of what that looks like right. and the, you know, I just think Kaori is not, it's not done.
Yeah. His story's not over yet.
Yeah. And I think out of all of these, Devira and Kaori, I think are going to have
yeah.
come back much stronger in the next little items.
Yes. I agree.
All right. So with all of that, we've kind of talked about which areas they are, and we're going to kind of, each areas the professors are in, and we're going to kind of talk a little bit more about those areas. So, and not going too deep because, I mean, we're getting a lot of information about the college, but also it's a lot of it's, for instance, like sparring. Sparring is a massive part of this yeah. book, and battle briefs, while in they are a big part. Like to me, sparring sticks out.
Yeah, I agree. Cause they don't talk about, they have that one chapter that we just went over in what chapter 5, it was all about battle brief. And they do mention battle brief throughout mm-hmm. the book, but it's not as like important, almost like the feeling of it. Written.
There's no skills being developed.
Correct. Yeah.
There are people who are innately good at battle brief and right. understand how to ask the logical questions.
Right.
But they're not sharpening their battle brief skills right. every day.
Exactly.
They are sharpening their sparring skills every day.
Every day. Yeah.
So let's kind of jump into sparring.
Okay.
So, and we're not going to go into Violet sparring because that's going to be its own deep dive. But we have sparring is on the mat, and when it initially starts out, it's the people in your wing.
Yes.
And so it that later changes as you've developed. Mm-hmm. But one of the big things,
and each week you are partnered with somebody in your wing to like basically fight against each other just to like continue your skills. And this is in your wing, not just your squad mm-hmm. too. So there's like a bunch of different people that you can spar against. And then over time, you'll eventually start sparring people from other wings, and basically people can call you out and be like, I want to spar with you.
And you find out in the novel that they actually, they all get together and they partner people up. Like mm-hmm. so they're predetermined before they walk in mm-hmm. and you'll see how Violet uses that to her advantage later. But sparring is, until I feel like Violet comes into play, you think sparring's all physical.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And there are, the big thing about sparring too, is there basically are not rules.
Yeah.
Like whatever
they'll
happens.
They'll kill you like right there yeah. on the thing. And I think to play into what you just said is, yes, we learned that sparring is not just physical, because specifically in my mind, I think about like when Zayden, is training Violet a little bit. He says, with your size, these are the things that you mm-hmm. need to go for. You're never going to beat like the strongest person just based off of strength alone, because you're not stronger than the biggest person, but because you're smaller, you can do like more small things. Mm. So it's not just about how strong you are or how fast you are. It's a mixture of all those things together.
So looping back in, that the intelligence part of it is such a big factor, exactly. not just brute mentality.
Exactly.
So then we're going to kind of start with Professor Carr. He doesn't have a specific class that she's going to regularly until a lot more of his information comes out when she gets her signet and mm-hmm. he's working with her one-on-one.
Right.
And we still don't really find out a lot about Carr.
No, we don't know that much about him at all.
But we just know that he deals with the magic and mm-hmm. our thought is his signet is going to have something to do with signets.
Yeah,
or knowing
being able
magic.
To tell what their magic is.
So another one, so she has a class on dragons mm-hmm. taught by Professor Kiori.
Yes, she does. And this class is literally, I can't see how this class like lasts all semester. And maybe it does, but we are introduced to this class before threshing and before presentation, when they're bonded with dragons, just to see what types of dragons are out there.
And I can't imagine it lasts into the second year.
Unless the only reason why I can think is like, maybe once they are bonded, they start learning more about their specific dragon.
But I don't know. I don't feel like they know that much about the dragons. Like, I do think they know a generalized information about the dragons, mm-hmm. but I don't feel like they know enough to be like, okay, this is what it looks like when you have a blue dragon.
Yeah,
because the blue dragon is so vicious. They yeah. don't even want, maybe the lesser dragons, but, and then Kaori can display
his mind.
Yes.
Like images onto like the wall, like a projector. He's basically a projector screen.
And that's helpful when he's showing the dragons.
Exactly.
So
he just basically goes through all the different types of dragons. He talks about the more rare dragons, the more common dragons. Again, not much information about them.
I'm very interested to see how second year comes into play and like what changes as far as like really seeing what a traditional year would look like and a third year would look like. Because I feel like third year is just like you're going as backup to battle, which I think is like almost an internship in a sense.
Yeah, it's essentially intern year.
It's just an internship. But yeah, I don't feel like I feel like it's kind of going to be like Harry Potter, where you get introduced to classes, but then they're so minimal in the end.
Yeah.
There, no one's really sitting
like
in classes.
Like half the people don't even graduate.
Yeah,
they don't even finish school. Yeah.
So, and then with that, we have some history lessons.
Yeah. And I think Markham teaches this one. Is he the teacher of this one? I can't remember, but I think he is. But this one literally just goes into like the history of the country and the continent and stuff like that. And I guess more so the reason why they are fighting the wars that they're fighting now. In my opinion, and I think later it's kind of like confirmed that it's a lot of propaganda. They are literally just teaching you what they want you to hear.
Which in reality is
history.
Just history in general. Like, you know, we know what people want us to learn.
Exactly.
And as someone who like taught, you get handed what you're supposed to teach.
Exactly.
And so it is interesting. There are a lot of parallels.
Yes.
So. And then the last thing I think we can go into before we go into just like her friendships and all of that mm-hmm. is the gauntlet. So I like really last, if you listen to chapter five, is it the one it comes up or four? No, I think chapter four. I said like go watch Cadet Kelly because I think that's such a big time when you first see someone trying to like me, my first right. memory of like military-esque someone trying to accomplish basically a
like an obstacle course.
Yes. So, but I went into the gauntlet. I was like, okay, I want to understand. There's some really cool people who have speculated what it looks like yeah. through drawings on TikTok. If you're a visual learner, go look those up.
I had a really hard time picturing it when I read this the first time until I went and like looked at TikTok and I was like, okay, this makes a little bit more sense.
So I agree. Even the first thing that it says is there are five like switchbacks.
Yeah.
Which I didn't understand meant like five, like right, left, right, left. It switches back directions five times.
Oh,
that's what that meant. Yeah. And so until I started diving into there, I didn't realize. So it's going up a mountain.
Yeah.
So I think about like when you see a like car driving up a mountain, it switches back and forth yeah. to get up the mountain. Obviously, you're not going to go up a straight mountain. Right, so true. It's creating that.
Yeah, I agree.
So it has five switchbacks. Mm-hmm. They're up the mountain. And the first obstacle when you're getting on the gauntlet is a log that's 15 feet across.
And it's rolling, right? Is that the one?
There are rolling logs, but okay, I don't think this first one is. And I'm going to be honest with you. I, again, try to go and do this without spoiling things again right. for myself because I want to go into this like I'm a fresh reader.
Yeah.
And so there are, okay, so I'll kind of go through. So then you have the 15 feet across. Then you have columns where the height increases and there's a 3 foot width between each one of them. So you're jumping up columns. The next thing that you will face is a one wheel, like it has a wheel and it has one opening. So you both have to enter and exit out of like the same place. So you get in the wheel and exit out of the wheel in the same place.
Oh my stars. It gives me anxiety just thinking about it.
And then the jumping across, like, I couldn't tell if it was jumping across the balls or, like, the balls are swinging.
So what I compare this to, I know you said Cadet Kelly. I compared it to, like, what's that show? It's, like, American Ninja Warrior or whatever, and they have to do those obstacle courses.
Like Wipeout?
Kind of like Wipeout, but I'm thinking more so the intense, like, Ninja Warrior, whatever. And the balls specifically I'm thinking of are, like, they have those balls you have to like jump onto.
Yes.
And then jump to the next one. Yes. That's how I picture it.
Okay.
These.
Okay. Yes. So, and then right after that, it just says you get into some gravel. And then there are three metal rods, half foot rise in between. And I cannot figure out what that in my brain, what that looks like. I don't know if they are having to like literally like climb 3 foot metal. I don't know. And then you get the pillars again. Yeah. You have another set of pillars. Mm-hmm. And then you get the spinning logs. Yes. And this is where someone falls off is the spinning logs.
Yeah. And they have these like chains like throughout the entire thing so that if you do fall, especially during training, if you fall, you can grab onto the chain and hopefully catch it and go maybe down a spot on the gauntlet and like go from there to go up to the end. But if you fall and you don't catch a chain, you're literally falling to your death.
Every day. That's reading off the death toll. And then the last thing is the chimney. And they say the chimney is like, I'm reading it like kind of like it's a board, but they say it's a 20 degree angle. And this frustrated me. I'm a math teacher. I was a math teacher. So 90 degrees is a square.
Right.
All right. So we're going to go halfway. That's 45. So halfway between that is 20. That is nothing.
Yeah.
That's barely a hill. So like, I'm like, what? Is it really slick? Because I don't think it specifically was like.
And is this the one where she was like, I can't grab onto the chimney. I'm physically not wide enough.
Yeah. So, but
you have to like go up this thing. And then I was always very confused about this part because they talk about the chimney and then they talk about the wall. And again, if you've watched American Ninja Warrior, they have to go up this wall.
Yes.
Scale this wall and grab the top. And that's the ending of, it's the same thing.
Yes.
And so I always, in my head, pictured it just the way that Violet talks about it. She's like, I physically can't do the the chimney part because my wingspan is not wide enough to grab onto it and like climb up it. But I never took into consideration it was a 20 degree angle. So now I'm just like, what was I picturing?
Well, so, and maybe it's like up high.
Maybe.
So maybe it's not flat. So she can't like grab onto it. Maybe it being at an angle means if she's jumping for it, she's having to hold onto an edge of it like a rock climber. Mm-hmm. And 20 degrees would make a difference in that sense if you're just talking about grabbing on and your wingspan.
Yeah.
But I don't know. When I saw, so it was like 20 degrees and then I started mathing and I was like, that's barely, I mean, anything. I think most people's treadmills are more than 20 degrees.
The incline.
And then you have the wall.
Yeah.
So the wall is definitely the biggest part, the hardest part for what I would assume is most people. And that is like even American Ninja Warrior, or if you're talking about basic training and they have the wall you have to climb.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is definitely one of those things that you see if someone's independent, you see it as like it'll cut a lot of people. If you see it as a team strategy, it's like, even in like Survivor, the big walls are a big thing because we love Survivor too.
Love Survivor.
So I think it's just important to understand, like, this is a big part of this college is because they cannot go to threshing
without, not even presentation. Like, you can't even get to presentation because at the end of this gauntlet is the flight field.
Yeah.
And so this is, and they do a lot of training in between when they actually get to presentation and when they actually have to do this for real. But I mean, it's like, I mean, it's dangerous. Like people,
it's just wild.
It's wild. It's wild.
So that's kind of like the basics, what I think are like the physical parts of Bascayath and like the teachers. And then the last little part that, you know, obviously is making up her experience are her friends, like her people, her peers that are in there with her.
Yeah. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to touch base on, and it has to do with the whole friendship thing is throughout the book, and we see the evolution of this, like, you know, at first they all kind of hate the fact that like all these crazy tests that they're having to do, they're having to spar each other every day and like fight every day, but also do the gauntlet, and they're constantly losing people. And for me, even reading it, I was like, this is crazy. Like, how are you asking 20-year-olds to do this? But then we take a step back toward the end of Fourth Wing, or it might even be an Iron Flame, but Violet has a change of mind because she's like, I've seen what's out there. And if it weren't for the gauntlet, if it weren't for the death tolls every day, if it weren't for sparring, like, I would not have prepared for what's actually out there. And so you get this entire change. Going back to the whole friendship thing, they lose a lot of their friends in throughout the years, even the first year specifically. And she was like, again, they're not only are they getting you ready to like climb on the back of your dragon, to run off your dragon, to fight people hand to hand, but they're also, again, numbing you to death that you are going to see every single day. So I think that's a huge thing. But that's why she was like, that's why you don't make friends.
Yeah.
Like in the college, that's why you shouldn't make friends.
Which is not a rule she follows.
Exactly.
She is close. They want you to be close to your squad. They want you to trust your squad. And that's echoed in any group setting, really. You want your team to be close and have a synergy about them that is unmatched with other teams.
Yeah.
They even have a special, if you are like, I assume, I shouldn't say that just because you're the closest, I assume those who communicate the best with each other that have that synergy, they would have the most surviving members, which is what they call the Iron Squad.
Yeah, the Iron Squad.
And I think a lot of that has to do with working together. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, are you able to communicate? Are you able to meet common goals? And I think that you see that a lot when the team is cohesive.
Right, exactly. And I think that obviously we see it a lot in Violet Squad because that's obviously the main characters in this book,
absolutely.
But also you can physically see it going from them not knowing each other really at all, but forming this super tight knit bond throughout Fourth Wing and Iron Flame that they have each other's backs, and they do better when they are like, hey, we survived this long. We're not losing another teammate. This is us. We're Iron Squad. It gives them that camaraderie to make them do better.
Yes. Well, and I think Iron Squad is also, if you haven't lost people, like if you've, they've definitely experienced loss, but not everyone, it makes you want to fight harder.
Yeah.
I think that I know yeah. that's what you're saying, but I want to echo it too. Like, you don't want, I'm sure every day they're looking at like who's going next, and you're like, I want no one to be next. Right. And that's what's fighting them. I think if you're in a squad that you've experienced like tons of loss, at that point, you're just in that mindset of.
Right. Well, and again, it goes back to like, I'm continuing to get closer with these people. Mm-hmm. And so all these people in their squad are dying. They're like, well, shoot, I don't want to get close to these people and work with them because I'm just going to lose them. Whereas like the Iron Squad is like, no, like I can't lose these people.
Which reminds me. So SEALs, Navy SEALs mm-hmm. they go through one of the hardest trainings. All military branches, I'm so thankful and respect everything that they do, but Navy SEALs have a very hard training.
Yes, they
and
do.
They have books about like the camaraderie that they build. And I think that that's kind of what you see is like their squad goes through it mm-hmm. and they have the best trust. They know because it's been proven.
Right.
They've faced these battles. They face these things that externally that these other squads can't dream of.
And they're also not necessarily the most talented squad. Like, they don't win the gauntlet. Like, they don't win, like, war games necessarily. They don't win a bunch of stuff. But they have the most survivors. Mm-hmm. And they care the most about each other. And I think that that plays a big part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the only part that we didn't touch on really at the whole college is dormitories. We've talked about them a little bit in the past. And we might have a little space to talk about them in the future with some upcoming activities that we might go over in some deep dives, because that you get some better looks as.
Yeah. They don't talk about them a lot.
No,
at all. Not until everybody has bonded.
And I think you see it most in different Zayden and Violet things coming up as far as traveling and all of that in Iron Flame. There's a lot of different talks about that.
Yes.
So that's Bezgaiath War College for us. We have next week starts chapter 5 on Monday, which it begins sparring, and I'm excited. And I'm going to ask that we maybe do sparring as our deep dive, but specifically Violet sparring.
Yeah,
because you'll kind of know what's going to happen then. Mm-hmm. But all right.
Do you want me to do the outro? Sorry.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much again for listening. And please don't forget to rate us wherever you listen to your podcast. It helps us out a ton. Also, don't forget to follow us on social media. We are across all platforms as Scribe Squad Pod. If you want to send us an email about any questions or topics that you want us to discuss, please feel free. Our email address is scribesquadpod@gmail.com. And we hope to hear from you next time.